WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work.
There are a lot of issues that are top of mind for voters in this final stretch toward Election Day, but perhaps none more so than the economy. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Kamala Harris and Donald Trump's campaigns have been touting their broad and sort of vague plans to boost jobs and protect U.S. trade. Their approaches have little in common, except that both candidates have promised to bring back manufacturing jobs. Though during last night's vice presidential debate, Tim Walz and J.D. Vance didn't have too much to say on the topic, other than this.
You'd want to reshore as much American manufacturing as possible, and you'd want to produce as much energy as possible in the United States of America, because we're the cleanest economy in the entire world.
The Inflation Reduction Act has created jobs all across the country, 2,000 in Jeffersonville, Ohio, taking the EV technology that we invented and making it here, 200,000 jobs across the country.
While Harris and Trump say they want to prioritize manufacturing jobs, their focus is on battleground states like Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. But they seem to be overlooking one major former capital of manufacturing, Illinois. To talk about the history of manufacturing in our state, we spoke with WBEZ Data Projects editor Alden Lowry and Race, Class, and Communities reporter Esther Yoon-Ji Kang. I started by asking Alden about what he's been hearing about manufacturing jobs since it hasn't gotten much attention this election campaign.
Well, we've been hearing a lot, both from the Republican side and the Democratic side. When the Republicans held their convention in Milwaukee this summer, there was a great deal of talk around manufacturing, about bringing manufacturing jobs back. Former President Donald Trump talked about that being, you know, one of the pillars of what they were hoping to accomplish and a big part of his economic platform. And then a month later, here in Chicago, we heard from a number of Democrats. The opening day of the DNC, mm-hmm. we heard a lot of talk about manufacturing on that first day, how the Democrats had a great record under Biden and Harris of restoring jobs that were lost during the pandemic mm-hmm. in the manufacturing sector, and how that was a part of their economic platform moving forward, specifically looking at, you know, reclaiming the middle class, bringing back middle class jobs for middle class families. And so they both talked about that. If you look at their policy platforms, there is a specific mention of manufacturing from both parties there.
Yeah.
So it's been a part of their pitch to the American people. It's still a vibrant industry, even yeah. though it's not what it used to be. But the fact that it isn't what it used to be, and it's, you know, manufacturing's foothold for many people in terms of gaining a living wage, that's been its legacy. That's what is so attractive still about the industry.
To that end, you wrote a column this week titled "Black Chicago Would Benefit from a Manufacturing Revival." So I want you to walk us through a bit of the history of manufacturing jobs here in this city and what's happened in recent decades.
Sure. We did a deep dive, Esther and other members of the Race, Class, and Communities desk back in 2019 when I was leading the desk. And, you know, we were really driven around the notion of the fact that manufacturing was really a shell of itself. And we were particularly interested in its impact on Black Chicago. And so what we found when we looked at numbers, when we went out to the neighborhoods and we talked with people, was that the dramatic decline of manufacturing jobs in Chicago, and there was a dramatic decline among Chicagoans working in the industry, the numbers showed that,
yeah.
was particularly of great detriment to African Americans and to specifically to majority black communities. And so the numbers we had, roughly 88,000 black Chicagoans working in manufacturing in 1980, which I think was the high point for black Chicagoans working in the industry, down to around 17,000, roughly estimated.
In 2020.
Wow. So
that is a dip.
So that is a very, very dramatic drop. And then if you look at a community by community basis, the numbers are really dramatic, most dramatic in largely West Side and South Side neighborhoods. And so those were neighborhoods where we went out and talked to people, and they told us about how, you know, that the change and the loss of those jobs really corresponded with the decline of many of those communities. They talk about the 70s being a fairly robust area for manufacturing.
Yeah.
And then things started to slide in the 80s as the factories were closing. We get to the 90s. We get to, you know, the issues of crack, issues of criminal justice issues, people going away to prison, and crime rates getting really high. Disinvestment really settling in. And so it is a part of that narrative.
Wow. And just so we're clear, what kinds of jobs specifically are we talking about here?
Oh, well, during its heyday, you know, it was, you know, kind of depending on what part of the town you were in. So a lot of steel mills on the south side of town.
Yeah.
But there were also, there's still an auto plant on the far south east side of the city, which has been there for a good while. And then you had literally, I mean, this was one of the cool things about manufacturing in Chicago. People were making literally everything here, you know, from TVs to elevator parts to games and all kinds of things. And so a number of those factories, Brock's Candy was a big factory on the west side. So literally throughout the city, you had a bunch of different things that people were making and building.
Let's bring you in here, Esther. Talk about who's benefited most from these types of jobs.
I mean, in general, historically, white workers were always the majority, you know, the biggest racial group working in the industry. More recently, there's been a growth of Latino workers and some Asians as well. Among manufacturing workers living in Chicago, about 40% are white, 32% are Latino, 18% are black, and 9% are Asian. One big thing to note is that a lot of suburbanites have benefited from manufacturing jobs.
Right.
Especially, you know, recently, if you're looking at this, the Chicago area, about 5 out of 6 manufacturing jobs belong to somebody who lives in the suburbs.
Lots of things have been made here in Chicago, to your point, right? I mean, we're talking TVs, cameras, radios, Schwinn bicycles, Lincoln Logs. I was today years old, but candy corn.
Yeah.
I mean, why was Chicago such a manufacturing powerhouse? Why did it all seem to happen here?
I think, you know, to some
degree... Is it location?
I think to some degree Chicago's situated neatly with regard to, you know, shipping, with regard to its being, you know, kind of in the middle of the country, and then also being just a very robust and dynamic you know, kind of metropolis. So, you know, third largest metro area in the country, and benefits that we have in terms of our positioning that you don't have perhaps in New York or L.A. And Chicago, when manufacturing was growing, Chicago was also growing, particularly the Chicago metro area as opposed to the city itself. Mm-hmm. But a very robust labor force here. And that's attractive, I think, to people who are going to be coming someplace, looking for workers and looking for a place where they think they can attract workers to come.
And what caused us to lose all these jobs, Esther?
Well, deindustrialization, of course, and there was also a shift to the service sector. That's where the most jobs are. A lot of jobs also went abroad, places like China. There was cheaper labor. And, of course, factories moved out of the city and into the suburbs where there's more space for big factories. There's more land. Mm-hmm. Taxes are cheaper. Wages can be lower. So that was those, you know, the factories leaving Chicago. Those
That's a huge, huge factor. So what local efforts, Esther, have there been to try to rebuild all that you just talked about, lost?
A lot of different groups from a lot of different parts of this industry are working on this, and training programs to get workers up to speed, business groups trying to bring back factories to the city, things like succession planning, which is like factory owners are dying out, they're aging, and their kids are not wanting to take over their companies. And so people are trying to put plans in place to sell it to their employees and keep the companies going. There's a lot of different efforts, but I've heard from a number of folks that the larger problem is this lack of a comprehensive industrial policy, one that really brings business, government, schools, that's a big part of it, nonprofits, everybody to think through how Chicago can be a manufacturing town again. I mean, it's a huge effort, and it feels like there's a lot of different groups working on this, but not always talking to each other.
So it sounds like another one of these barriers between Chicago residents and these manufacturing jobs. I mean, as you've pointed out, it's historically they've been the ticket to the middle class, right?
Yeah, I mean, there are so many barriers. I would speak specifically about Chicagoans on the south and west sides of this city, because they were hardest hit by the decline in manufacturing. And one of the big things is a lack of training and skills and education. Advanced manufacturing, you know, more in recent years means that you need basic math skills, you need some technological know-how, and not all students are leaving schools prepared. There's also soft skills. Employers always talk about soft skills, how a lot of Chicago residents lack that, being on time, you know, dealing with conflict, communicating. There's a big one, transportation, factories in the suburbs. So even just getting to the job is hard for many Chicagoans on the south and west sides. And, you know, PR problem. The industry still has a PR issue, like an image problem, where people think the jobs are dangerous and dirty. And some are,
they're not desirable.
But kids don't seem to want to work in factories. And so that has been a barrier as well.
And I want to add a note here. I mean, there are some manufacturing jobs here, some 58,000 manufacturing jobs still exist here in the Chicago area. They're going unfilled because companies are struggling to hire people, as Esther pointed out. They are just one reason. They're more advanced manufacturing jobs, right? So they require a higher level of education. And access is more limited than typically standard in these manufacturing jobs. I want you to take us back, Alden, to when Chicago factories, particularly on the south and west sides, closed. What was the impact that was felt at the time to the residents there?
It was tremendous, particularly as the years went on. So, you know, understanding that during those times, college education was, I would say, especially back in the 60s and 70s, was still a rarity. And it wasn't necessarily something that was happening to all of us. And even more so on the south and west sides. And so when these jobs went away, you know, there weren't necessarily a whole lot of options. And so there were service jobs, the service kind of economy was really starting to ramp up, you know, in terms of, you know, working at this shop or that shop, so on and so forth. But those jobs were less stable. Those jobs weren't paying as much. And those jobs didn't have as many, you know, kind of routine set hours like you had when you were working second shift or third shift within one of the factories. And so particularly for young people, you know, 18 to 25, maybe even 18 to 29, manufacturing was a very profitable business for them to be in. They didn't necessarily need a college degree. And so when those jobs went away, there was just nothing left for them. Unemployment increased, nearly doubled from what it is currently to what it, particularly in the majority of Black communities in the city, than what it was back in 1960. And particularly among people, like I said, in that age cohort, men in that age cohort, unemployment numbers in some Black communities are 30-40% within that dynamic. So so it was a very tremendous impact. And some of the other social issues that we saw that really kind of, you know, bubbled up to the surface in the years following that, I think, are attributed to the loss of that sector.
Well, as we opened up with, I mean, this has been a hot topic on the presidential campaign trail. But there's, you know, what can be done on the federal level, and there's also what can be done by city and state leaders. Because Trump and Harris don't seem to be keeping Illinois in mind when they're talking about building these manufacturing jobs. Like I said, they're focused on the other states, right?
Yeah, the other states are the states that are in play.
They're important.
Yeah.
But what about us?
But what about us? Exactly. You know, there's still definitely a need for those jobs, and not just in Chicago, not just in Illinois, but, you know, in parts of Ohio and parts of Kentucky and other states that aren't necessarily up for grabs. Those are folks who are desperate to hear, well, what are you going to do here? You know, how is the federal government going to help restore that sector in our neck of the woods?
Well, we'll be keeping a close ear. That's WBEZ Data Projects editor Alden Lowry and Race, Class, and Communities reporter Esther Yoon-G Kang. Alden and Esther, thank you so much.
Hey, thanks, Sasha.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced and mixed by Meha Ahmed. It was edited by Daniel Tucker. For more conversations on news, politics, and culture, make sure to subscribe to this podcast. And if you need more Reset in your life, well, sign up for our free twice-a-week newsletter for show highlights and what's happening around Chicago. Find that at wbez.org/resetnews. Thanks for listening. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again tomorrow.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely.